Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 22, and I want you to keep your finger there. Matthew chapter 22, we're going to get to that scripture in just a minute. How many of you in your family, you have interesting dynamics in your family? Interesting dynamic. Notice I use the word interesting. Anybody related to someone crazy? Okay, now don't point to anyone here. Maybe some of you are trying to do a little inventory and think about who's crazy in my family. If you're not able to think of anyone crazy in your family, chances are it might be you. My mom was actually in town this weekend. She was at our early service, and grateful that she was here this weekend. She sat in the first service, and I was a little bit nervous. How many know when mama's in the house, you got to be on your best behavior? The Haymans, we come from a long line of Academy Award winners. Oh, yes, we got drama up in our house. Anybody know a little bit about drama? You know, the Haymans, we are strongly opinionated. Anybody have a highly opinionated person in your house? We have strong opinions and we have sensitive feelings. Guess what happens when you put strong opinions and sensitive feelings together? Oh, yeah. Yeah, 4th of July, man. It's fireworks, baby. And so, in fact, I tell people this all the time. We put the funk in dysfunctional. Come on. You know, you see a family. Sometimes you come to church and you see a family and you think, this family is absolutely perfect. You know, they got it all together. I mean, they're dressed well. They act well. Their kids are just, I mean, to the T. Everything is absolutely amazing. But the truth is, and even in church, there's no perfect family. Can I have a good amen? There are no perfect families. There are families that are broken. There are families that struggle. There are families that attempt to do well. But at the end of the day, we look to God's word as the source for what family is supposed to look like. And, you know, sometimes here's what I love about the scriptures. The Bible talks about all different kinds of families. Not only does it give the highlights of what families can be, but sometimes it talks about what families struggle through. And in fact, you don't have to look at movies. You don't have to look at TV. But even in the scripture, you can find some dysfunctional families. Have you noticed that? In fact, I'm going to read through this quickly. I just did a quick pass this weekend, kind of highlighting different families in scripture who fought through some issues. Now, let me give you a warning label to what you're about to hear, okay? I am not making this up. There are families that the Bible talks about, and sometimes you'd think it needs like a PG-13 rating. It may be even rated R, okay? But I'm simply relaying a message to you. Check out the original family, Adam and Eve. Remember that? The original family placed there in the garden of perfection, yet they had trouble. There was deceit. There was sin. There was blaming. Their oldest son murdered his younger brother. That was in the first family. You remember a couple named Abraham and Sarah? How many remember them? Oh, yeah. In fact, the father of our faith, Father Abraham. Abraham, on two different occasions, he let other men walk off with his wife. She let her husband sleep with another woman and then blamed him and hated her for it. Come on, somebody say, uh-oh. I'm not making this up. Read your Bible. It's in the book of Genesis. And then Abraham had a son named Isaac. Remember Isaac? And Isaac was almost killed by his dad, right? Abraham offers Isaac, was attempting to offer him based upon God's command. Isaac then goes to marry the first mail order bride. Her name was Rebekah. And then he talked her into concealing their marriage. There was a man in scripture by the name of Lot. How many remember Lot? Okay, Lot was Abraham's nephew. Lot had a couple of guests come visit him, and the entire town of men was knocking on his door wanting to take advantage of those two men. So instead, Lot offers his daughters to that crowd of men. After Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, Lot's daughters got him drunk so they could have children by their own dad. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's messed up. This is your Bible now. Are you reading the same Bible that I read? I'm not making this up. Samson. Our men are studying about Samson in our small group Bible study. Samson was one of the strongest men to ever live, yet he was weakened by a disloyal wife and his lust for addiction. How many of you were here last Sunday when we talked about Joseph? Joseph was a man with a dream and a destiny, and yet his brothers turned on him, betrayed him, and you know the outcome of the story of Joseph. Eli was a priest in Israel, but he was a hopelessly incapable father who lost his sons to immorality. Saul was Israel's first king, and he was apparently a psychotic with manic bursts of anger, episodes of deep depression, and traces of paranoia too. This is Israel's first king. And then there was a man named David. How many remember David? The scripture tells us that David was a man after God's own heart, yet David commits adultery, and then in order to cover it up, he conceals a murder. This is a man after God's own heart, and then he has a son named Solomon. Solomon was supposed to be the smartest guy on the planet. For a smart guy, he did some dumb things. 1,000 wives. Now, men, let me ask you this question. Oh, yeah, you know where I'm going. How many of you fellas have a hard time dealing with the one you got? Multiply that by 1,000 and you have Solomon. Bad idea. Even the prophets, look in the prophets of the Old Testament. Even though they were spokesmen of God, they struggled with impurity. They battled depression. They had unfaithful spouses and broken families. And then you fast forward to the New Testament and you have Mary and Martha, these beloved sisters. And sibling rivalry was constantly in their mix. Even the person of Jesus himself, born into an earthly family, and all of his brothers and sisters thought he was weird. If you got family that think you're weird, guess what? You're in good company. Jesus is weird. Hey, if you're going to do all these tricks and miracles, at least become famous so we can ride on your coattails. Families. We see families all throughout the scripture. The Bible has a lot to say about families. And one thing I've discovered, there's not a single perfect family on the planet. Not one. Here's what I love about this church. You don't have to be perfect to walk into the doors. Listen, if you knew about my family what God knows about my family, you may would pack up your Bible and get your belongings and head to the house. But if I knew about your family, what God knows about your family, we might not let you in. I'm teasing. Here's what I love about this spiritual thing, this spiritual family. You know what, Healing Place, we're a family. God's put us together and knit our hearts together as a family. This is not the gathering of the perfect. It's the gathering of the authentic. Can I have a good amen? Love that. I love that. Turn to that person that you're sitting next to and tell them, hey, it's worse than you think it is. Question, let me ask you this question. How many single people do we have this morning? You're not married, but you have hopes of one day being married and starting a family of your own. Singles, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up, singles. Now just look around at those who have their hands up. Singles, come on, we're scoping and hoping right now, baby. It may be a good idea right after service, all the singles, we're going to have a single mingle right over here in the Connect foyer, just a little fellowship. Hey, listen, you find the right one, there's nothing like it. Find the wrong one, there's nothing like it. All the single people. Now listen, how many married? How many are married and you just loving life? You are happily married. The Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. Come on, if you're sitting next to your spouse, lean over and just kiss him on the cheek. Tell him, you're my good thing. Feeling a whole lot of love. A whole lot of love and chemistry in the house. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Married life is amazing. How many of you are married, but you'd like to trade them in for another one? Let me see. No, I'm just teasing. Don't raise your hand on that. Some of you are really quick about that. Meet with Brother Wayne right after service. He's got some Some help. Let me read to you some statistics, okay? I want to give you some stats. Now, don't dial out on the numbers, okay? Numbers can be numbing. I want you to stay engaged. When I'm talking statistics, these really represent souls, okay? Check this out. These are recent statistics about family and marriage. Nearly 70% of married men and 60% of married women have affairs. 7 out of 10 married men and 6 out of 10 married women have affairs. In the United States alone, less than half of all couples who marry will stay married for 15 years. Less than half actually reach year 15. Let me ask you this. How many of you have been married over 15 years? I love it. You're beating the statistic. Love it. They say that half of all marriages end in divorce. Half of all marriages end in divorce. That the divorce statistic is the same for outside the church as it is for inside the church. Now, let me be quick to say this. I know when we talk about divorce and we talk about marriage and we start reading some of these statistics, please know that the intent of the message today and really this entire series is not to bring guilt or condemnation on anyone. The Bible says that God hates divorce, and that's true. But let me be clear. God does not hate the people who have been through divorce. The reason why God hates divorce, okay, come on, let's clap our hands. We believe that. That's true. The heart of God. He hates what divorce does to the people that he loves. Many of you know the heartache and pain of going through a marriage that didn't last. Many of you, when you said, I do, you wanted it to be forever. You planned on it being forever. But through heartache and pain, maybe it was through abuse, maybe it was through bad decisions, maybe the door was open to the enemy and he's wrecked your life. I want you to know there's a reason why they call this a healing place for a hurting world. In fact, here's the thought that I had. This is very important. I want you to receive this. This is a church house and not a courthouse. I don't know what churches you've been to in the past, but you're not going to find judge and jury here. What you'll find here, you'll get that at a courthouse, but you know what you get when you come to God's house? Sin-sick people need a doctor. Jesus said, I didn't come for the healthy, I came for the sick. And so if you're hurting, maybe you're sick in a relationship. Maybe you're wounded in your soul. Maybe you have a bad taste or a bitter experience over a relationship that's gone bad. I want you to know there's a doctor in the house. Half of all marriages end in divorce. Let me apply this statistic to another area of your life. What if? Imagine you're watching the evening news and the news person says, he makes an announcement. There's a 50% chance that your children will be attacked by a bear on the way to the bus stop. A 50% chance that on the way to the bus stop, your children will be mauled by a bear. Let me ask you this. What will you do? Chances are your kids ain't going to school that day, right? Let's just pack this one in. We're going to do something different. Why? Because the odds are stacked against you. If they do go to school, you're not telling them, hey, goodbye, I love you. Run fast. You're not doing that, right? Because you protect your kids. In fact, you're going to the bus stop with them. You're going to dress them in a full suit of armor, and you're bringing a shotgun. Come on, where you at, Livingston Parish? Where you at, baby? I hear they believe in gun control in Livingston Parish. They have guns, and they will control you. You do something different because the odds are stacked against you. Listen, the odds of marriage relationships lasting under current statistics, the odds are against us. But today and over the next 4 weeks, we want to talk about how to overcome the odds. I don't want your marriage to be a statistic. I want you to end up on the better side of those statistics. If you have your Bible, turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22, and I want to read 3 verses to you. We're talking about my family is amazing. My family. How do you get to amazing? Matthew chapter 22, starting with verse 37. Jesus replied. Now he's answering a question. One of the religious experts asked him, what's the most important commandment? Of all the things written in the scriptures, Lord, could you just boil it down, simplify it? How many of you like it simplified? That's what I love about Jesus. Jesus could take something complicated and he makes it simple. I love it. Too many times in today's world, we take something simple and we complicate it. Jesus said, hey, let me sum all of this up for you. Verse 37, here's what's most important. The most important commandment is this. You must love the Lord your God with all. Everybody say all. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Now, in the Greek, the word all, you might want to write this down. In the Greek, the word all means all. Okay, you got that? Everything, nothing off limits. It's all inclusive. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And then he says this. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The first and the greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands. I think that's amazing. You see, God gave Moses 10 commandments, right? And then over time, those 10 commandments developed into 2,200 laws. That's a lot to remember. How many of you have a hard time remembering the 10 commandments? Just 10 of them. Man takes something simple and complicates it. 2,200 laws. And then Jesus comes onto the scene and says, let me just simplify this. If you want to do all the Bible, if you want to do the entire scripture, love the Lord your God first. That's the first and the greatest commandment. Here's the big idea. Here's what I want you to take away today. Of all the things that you hear, I want you to remember this. A healthy family is a God-first family. A healthy family starts with God being first. Notice he said that loving God is the first and the greatest commandment. And then loving your neighbor, loving your spouse, is second. Now, this kind of goes against the grain of common language today. I think it's so fascinating because I hear stuff like this. Oh, he's so fine. He looks great in those jeans. He's got that cross tattoo right there. I wonder, is he the one? Oh, wait. Who's supposed to be one? I wonder, when will I find the one? Oh, she's so beautiful. She smells like perfume. I get tingles when I'm around her. I wonder, is she the one? And guess what? We're asking the wrong question because she can't be the one in your life when God is the one. In fact, I'll go so far as to say this. All of those who are single. Now, you may not like me after you hear this. But if you're pursuing marriage more than you're pursuing God, then you're committing idolatry because you're putting her above God. You're putting him above God. It breaks my heart to see single people that are so desperate to be in a relationship, and because of loneliness or hormones, they jump into a relationship they ain't got no business being in. And then it's, oh, wait. If you'll keep God first, if you'll love the Lord your God first, then you're not asking who's the one. What you're really asking for is, okay, who's number two? Right? What's the first commandment of the Ten Commandments? God said, you shall have no other gods before me. If you put him first, God will bless the rest. We talk about that in the tithe. If you want your finances to be blessed, put God first. Let me tell you this. Singles, if you want your relationship to be blessed, put God first. Married, those with kids, families, hear me. If you want your family to be amazing, you've got to put God first. A grandma was watching her granddaughter play with Barbie dolls. This little girl was playing with a Ken and Barbie. And of course, little girls do what they do. And I blame Disney for this. Ken and Barbie get together and they're having a wedding. And so grandma's listening to her little granddaughter do this Ken and Barbie wedding. And she says, now it's time for your vows. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you. You may now kiss the bride. Come on, somebody. That's a little more accurate than we want to admit, isn't it, fellas? What I'm asking of you today is this, that you'll make a vow. And it's not the right to remain silent, but it's the right to put God first in your relationship. Let God be the one and your spouse be the two. Are you catching this? I want to invite Pastor David Ray to come up here. There's an illustration he's going to help me with. Come on, didn't you enjoy Pastor David praying over you in his ministry today? Come on, Pastor David, come up here. I'm going to ask our stage guys to help us. Now, this is a picture that and this is highly experimental, okay? So a little grace. How many of you will give us grace? Give us grace on this experiment? Okay. I want to paint a picture. I want you to see this because visually, talking about it is easy, but when you see it and you hear it, it tends to have a greater impact. And so we've got some, I hear David's got some skills. He's highly qualified. You are like were you like the national CrossFit training runner-up of South Louisiana? Did I have that right? Pretty close to that? Okay, good. We knew you could preach, but man, he's got some serious athleticism. He's going to help us today. We've got several balloons here. And these balloons are going to represent the different portions of our life, okay? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. So hold on to that balloon. Then we got several other balloons here that make up different parts of our life. We got friends. How many of you got friends in your life? Oh, you got good friends. How many of you are desperate for a friend? Okay, friends. This is a friendly church. Okay, hold on to that. We got a couple of balloons here. What is this? School. How many students do we have? Have school. I know some of you students want to pop this balloon, but to your parents, this is very, very important. We've got education here. We've got, J-O-B, a job. I think it's interesting when God put Adam in the garden, before he gave him a wife, he gave him a job. And all the ladies said, amen. Listen, just because you're in love, love don't pay the bills. Get to work, J-O-B. Okay, work is very important. And we have a job so we can pay our bills. Bills. Somebody say, oh, me. Yeah, let's just pray right now. Father, Lord, help us. Okay, skills to pay the bills. What else we got? Another couple balloons here. There's a spouse balloon in there somewhere. I know that, there it is, there it is, there it is. There's the spouse balloon. David, you're married. You and Bethany have been married for how long?
7 years.
7 years. And do you have children? We have a kid's balloon in here. I'm sure there's kids in there somewhere. You've got two kids and you've got one on the way. So your life is pretty full. Do these balloons kind of accurately represent your life? Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask Pastor David to do something absolutely amazing because he's incredibly talented, he's gifted, he's anointed, and he's from Tennessee. And so what he's going to do is we're going to start. I want you to juggle these balloons. Now, we got God here. We got our spouse. Wait here. Don't forget Bethany right here. Don't forget Bethany. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What did you do? Who did he kick out? He kicked out of school. Kids, don't drop out of school. Do not drop out of school. We got some kids here. You got two kids, one on the way. What about your job? Come on, you got to work harder. Come on, David, you got to move, boy. You got to move. You're dropping it. You're missing it. What about friends? You don't have any friends. Your friends are getting away from you, dude. What do I say? What about your kids? You haven't spent time with your kids. You've been working too much. What are we going to do with all of this? Wait a second. Wait a second. Where's God? Okay. Yeah, you need God back. He needs God back in his life. Come on. Come on, let's clap our hands and show our appreciation for D. Ray. Now let me show him the knee balloon. Now look, here's something I want you to see. Let him clean it up. Let him clean it up. You're good. Check this out. Sometimes our life is just like that, isn't it? Do you feel like you got so much going on that your life is scattered all over the place? Am I talking to anybody this morning? And your question is, how do I juggle it all? How do I keep it all going? It starts with God. You come to church and you know God's the most important balloon. But life can spin out of control really quickly. And eventually, we think, well, wait a second. What about me? What about me? Do you know one of the biggest killers in family is selfishness? Do you know your marriage suffers when all you do is think about yourself? You know your children suffer. You know your children, they struggle when parents get selfish. And if we're not careful, you know what we tend to move toward? Selfishness. Instead, where's that God balloon? Bring that God balloon. Don't put God in a bag or in a box. Come on, let's get him out. Get him out. Did he leave the building? Lord, help us. We got to pack up and we got to roll out. Don't hide God. Jesus said this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Put him first. He says, if you'll seek me first, my kingdom and my righteousness, then guess what happens? All these other balloons, God said, I'll take care of those. Come on, clap your hands, show your love one more time. Somebody say, God first. Listen, ladies, you don't want him to make you number one. You want him to make you number two. Because if you're number one, then he's trying to love you in his own strength. And there are limits to that love. I tell my daughters this all the time. I say, girls, listen, when you get married in about 60 or 75 years from now, you saw what I did there? When you get about 60 or 75 and you kind of think about having a boyfriend, maybe getting married, I tell them this, hide your heart so deep in God that a man will have to seek God in order to find you. God has to be first. Listen, when God is number one and you become number two, then there's an agape love. All of a sudden, now there's a life in the spirit. Marriages work better when life is lived in the spirit. If you become number one and God's somewhere 2, 3, 5, 10, 12 down the list, your marriage will struggle. Rachel can tell you when I haven't had quality times in the presence of Jesus. I know you may find that hard to believe, but there are moments that I'm just in a bad mood. You might get moody. Oh, yeah. And she told me the other day, she said, babe, have you read your Bible today? Translated, I know what that was saying. Your attitude is killing me, and you better go talk to God. When you hide yourself in him, I'm a better husband when God is number one. I'm a better father to my children when God is number one. Rachel and I have been married for 16 years. We've dated for 4 years, been together 20 years. I said, babe, and all the time that we've been married, have you ever once thought about divorce? She said, divorce? No. Murder? A handful of times. Come on. Marriage is tough. Relationships are tough. The world doesn't make it easy for you to fall in love, stay in love, and live forever in love. Am I talking to anybody this morning? God has to be first. Let me ask you this, men, where are all the fellas? Can I take 2 minutes to talk to the fellas? Men, question. How many of you have a very natural desire to protect? I mean, it's in you. There's a natural instinct to protect. If someone ever breaks into your home, you're ready. And you're almost looking forward to it. Right? I mean, how many of you have weapons? You have a cache of weapons at your house. You've got guns and rifles and knives and nunchucks and you got mixed martial arts skills. I mean, you're begging for some. Just give me a reason. Fellas, how many of you have ever heard a noise in your house in the middle of the night and you wake up and you grab the pistol out of the nightstand? Listen, we had a noise in the middle of the night a couple months ago. And Rachel was like, baby, did you hear that? I said, no. And I really did, but I was too scared to answer, you know. But men, there's something instinctive that God put in us to protect. When we know that we're being threatened, listen, we step into that role as protector. Fellas, would you hesitate for a second to lay down your life for the people that you love? How many of you wouldn't even think twice about that? I mean, Mike, you don't even have to ask me that question. If my wife or children, if they're under attack, I will get in harm's way. I will die for those that I love. Let me ask you this. Will you live for them too? Will you live for the ones that you love too? They need just as much passion, just as much energy, just as much commitment as if your family is under attack. How aggressive you would be to defend them in the natural. Would you be willing to do that in the spiritual? Men, can you defend your wife, not just physically, but spiritually? Will you step into the leadership role of your home? Will you be the spiritual leader of your house? Will you defend her financially? You say, Mike, what does that mean? How do I protect her financially? Will you be a good steward of your resources, giving your tithe to the Lord? Remember, putting him first. When you put him first in your resources and you live responsibly with the rest, it's amazing how a woman will flourish when she is financially secure. Will you protect her emotionally? Men, will you have eyes for one woman? Will you protect your family? Now, let me close. Let me wrap this up. Is this helping anybody today? Let me give you one thought. And I want you to write this down, since we're talking about priorities. Here's the thought that I want you to leave with. Make decisions based on your priorities and not your pressures. Make decisions based on your priorities and not your pressures. You see, men, women, families, singles, sometimes we have to learn to say no. Turn to your neighbor and say, no. Come on, tell it with a little more conviction. Say no. Didn't that feel good? You see, your life spins out of control when you don't learn to say no. Sometimes we got so much going on, and one of the best things you can do to protect your family is say no to outside things that will pull you in a bunch of different directions. Can I take a moment to tell you about something that's very dear to my heart? This is something I feel like probably of all the commandments that we break, this is the one we probably transgress the most. God said in Exodus chapter 20, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. What does that mean? Remember the Sabbath. You know what a Sabbath is? In fact, Jesus told him in the New Testament that the Sabbath was created for man. God worked 6 days, right? Created everything we see in 6 days. Interesting what God does on day seven. He rests. Now, if God will work six and rest one, what does that tell us about our own life? Endless work doesn't please God. Sometimes we have to say no. Watch this. Sometimes you have to say no to some good things so you can say yes to the best things. When you understand your priorities, you can say yes with conviction and no without guilt. Sometimes we live under this approval addiction where we can't say no to anything or anybody. Sure, I'll go do that. Yeah, I'll go do that. Man, I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to disappoint her. Some days you have to say no. My family comes first. You know, we're guilty of this even in church work. Oh, well, if I just take care of God's house, he'll take care of mine. Nope. Listen, God says this, take care of your bride. I'll take care of my bride. The church is mine, but there's only one. You may be anointed to do a lot of different things. But I tell you, one of the greatest anointings you have is to be able to serve your family. Only you can do that. You can't delegate that. You can't expect somebody else to do that. God has given us the responsibility because healthy families are God-first families. Can I have a good amen? Would you bow your heads with me? Joshua said in his book, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he said, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And then he makes a declaration that I want to declare over you, over your family, and over this house. Joshua told the children of Israel this. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua had to make a decision. He made a declaration. He announced, not just to his family, but to all the families of Israel, we are a God-first family.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.